Good morning. This is Scott Wheeler, the host of the Vermont Voice, a program of 1490 AM WIKE in Derby. The Vermont Voice is brought to you today by the generous sponsorship of the Orleans Essex Visiting Nurses Association and Hospice, providing more than 40 years of quality, compassionate home care in the Northeast Kingdom. When many of us hear about a natural disaster, such as a hurricane, a tornado, or an earthquake, we run the other way. But not Helena Hicks of Newport. No, she isn't afraid to run into the heart of a disaster to help people. Helena is our guest this morning, and she's going to talk about her 89 years of helping people. Good morning, Helena.
Good morning.
Well, you know what, Helena, at 89 years old, many people have resigned themselves to sitting back and, you know, kind of waiting for the Grim Reaper to come, but... you know what? I think it's going to be mighty hard for the Grim Reaper to find you because you're all over the world.
That's right. FEMA is the great love of my life.
Right. So FEMA, what is FEMA?
FEMA is the Federal Emergency Management Agency of the United States. We're available for people who have been zapped with a hurricane, flood, any type of a disaster. We're deployed at a minute's notice. We're known as the DAEs, Disaster Assistant Employees, Intermittent People. When FEMA calls for deployment, we are on call 24/7, but only when we are deployed are we on the payroll.
So when did you first become involved with FEMA?
I came involved in FEMA in 1978. I was working a Red Cross assignment at the time, and some of the people from FEMA wanted to know if I'd be interested, and I said, my goodness, I don't know about this, so let me think about it. So November, I decided to sign up, and within a month, I was on a deployment.
And where was your
joy
first?
Joy of my life.
And where was your first deployment?
I believe it was in Texas.
Right. You know, and your name is also synonymous with the Red Cross. Are you still involved with them?
I was executive director for 30 years for three counties. They closed our office in 1975, and it was at that time that I ceased working there. However, I have volunteered a few hours for them since. But I was with them 30 years as the executive director, covering three counties, Orleans, Upper Essex, and Orleans. It was a great pleasure working for the Red Cross, and I enjoyed it. But they closed down several offices in the United States, and ours was on the list to be closed.
Right. And wherever there's a disaster, you seem to be. I know you were telling me that you were in Louisiana following the Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, Scott, I was there 9 months, all told. Probably that next to Camille was the worst disaster I have ever seen in my entire life. I interviewed several of the people that were on that bridge for 3 days with no food, no personal facilities, no water. And one lady said, you know, Miss Hicks, it would have been better had death come along.
Hmm. And do you think people can get the full scope of the destruction by what they saw on TV versus what you saw?
No, I don't, Scott. You got to be there and see it. My last assignment in Alabama, it looked like a forest fire had gone through. Bark was off in every tree, leaves, houses were to the ground. It was a terrible sight, just terrible. I was stationed at that time in Pleasant Grove, Alabama. Before that, I was in Fulton Town, Alabama, in a parking lot under tents set up where we were interviewing people 13 hours a day. And we had a lot of people in then.
What kind of reaction do people have to you in a time of disaster?
Sometimes people come in and they have different kind of attitudes. Some of them are grateful, some are threatening. My job usually, a receptionist, is to have them feel at ease. I usually have them have a chair. Somebody breaks down in front of me, I go give them a hug, tell them we're here to help you. And it's very normal to break down, and let us see what we can do. Let us get you around to some different people that represents different parts of FEMA, other agencies. I'm here for your convenience. I'm here to help you, ma'am.
And you were telling me that there's a piece of you that really understands them because you had a bit of a disaster in your life when you were younger.
When I was 9 years old, we came home. My dad's house was on fire. We lived in a garage with a dirt floor till my dad could get the place repaired. Neighbors were good. They brought in cots for us to sleep on, food. And it was at that early age that I realized people helped people. Then we had a family fire down the road. My family took in the whole family. My mother was a nurse. The man was so terribly burned, he couldn't feed himself. So my mother, being a nurse, bandaged him, took care of him, and kept the family there until they were able to get back to their own residence.
You know, are you a Vermonter by birth?
Yes, I was, Scott.
And where did you grow up?
Newport.
Oh, so you did. When you originally got involved in the Red Cross, what prompted you to do that? Just because you wanted to help?
A desire to help people. During World War II, I did some of the answering when they were observing for airplanes and other stuff. And then I got involved in a first aid course. Eventually, I applied for the executive director's job, was chosen. I was also a first aid CPR instructor trainer.
Yeah, because, you know, I think back over the years. I was born and raised in Newport, and I live in Derby now. You know, I don't think of a time that that I haven't known the name Helena Hicks. And I believe a lot of times it was to do with the Red Cross, whether it was me taking CPR or first aid. You're kind of like an icon in the area, but... You know, I think the one thing people might be asking is those of us fortunate live to be 89, which I suspect I will not be one of them. A lot of people say is, where is your rocking chair? How come not sit back and just savor all you've done and, you know, and relax a little bit?
I wouldn't know how to do that, Scott.
I suspect you're probably right. But, you know, in my jaded moments, when I think of people, what people, some people will do to avoid work at all costs, I then look at people like you, because there are other people like you who they go out of their way to work when they don't have to work. Do you think work keeps you going?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, the doctor told me not to stop. Kept me healthy.
Right. Actually, I have a father-in-law who the doctors told him he really shouldn't go to the woods anymore because of a heart condition. And that was several years ago. And honestly, I think if he had listened to the doctor, the only place we'd be visiting him now is in the graveyard, because he still has a mission in life.
Well, you know, Scott, I get up every morning, and I have a nice bay window in my apartment house, and I say, God, what do you want me to do today? If I don't get an answer, you know what? Then I do as I want to. And that's helping people.
For those of you just tuning in, our guest this morning is Helena Hicks of Newport. And, you know, when we go on vacation, you know, when we go somewhere, a lot of times we have, like, weeks to plan, months to plan. But what is it like? Like, you might see a hurricane bearing down, so you might be able to prepare yourself. But if there's a big earthquake somewhere, how much notice do you actually get?
The last assignment, I was called at 11:30 at night to be on the plane next day to Alabama.
So do you keep a bag packed?
Partially.
Right, because, some people it would take... You know, days to prepare. I know it isn't I'm not saying it's a vacation, but, you know, to actually uproot yourself and go.
Takes a lot of energy.
Right. Is this like a family tradition then? You were saying that your parents weren't afraid to help people.
Always. They were always there. If somebody was in trouble, they were the first ones to extend a helping hand. And it just became a normal thing for me to realize that was the way of life.
And probably they didn't go around telling everybody.
Not a word.
Yeah, and it was just something that you you knew you had to do. And I actually find that in the Northeast Kingdom is there's a lot of people willing to help everybody, you know, other people, but they don't really think they're doing anything just because it comes a bit natural.
It's a natural thing. You see a situation, you get into it, you help people.
Right.
I was with the Newport Ambulance for 10 years, so I was ready at a moment's notice to go out and help people.
So your helping has actually been an evolving thing. You started out with the Red Cross, then you did the ambulance and FEMA. Now, at 89 years old, what's your next thing?
Some more FEMA assignments.
Right. Is there an adrenaline rush?
Oh, you wouldn't believe how much.
And so you're an adrenaline junkie.
Right. Absolutely, Scott.
So where was the saddest place you've ever been?
Probably Camille back in 1969.
And where did that impact?
Gulfport, Mississippi. I was assigned Gulfport, Mississippi to 33rd Avenue School as a caseworker for the American Red Cross.
So that was 1969?
1969.
Boy, you have been with it a long time. But to tell you the truth is...
It's been my life.
I was 4 years old in 1969. I didn't even know what the idea of a disaster was, falling off my bike.
I was also on the American National cadre for assignment with wherever they needed me with the American Red Cross.
So explain to me, what did you find when you arrived in Alabama following that hurricane?
Scott, I couldn't believe what I saw. First of all, we go and have a meeting with people for assignments, and our first assignment was at Fulton Town, set up in tents. Then a storm came along, and we got into our Red Cross, what we call our FEMA van, 12 of us, and the snow storm, we call them hail, hit the windows. It ruined three of our tents to matchsticks. So we went out, set up some more, and went back to work. That's what it's like.
Have you ever been in danger, felt like you were in danger?
Occasionally.
What, people attacking you, or...
Well, sort of.
Right.
Threatened.
And do you think they necessarily mean it, or are they just so stressed they don't know where to turn?
They're terribly frustrated. Quite often it happens when you have a large amount of people sitting in front of you waiting, and it's near closing time. They get impatient. No, I don't think anybody ever has really meant anything bad toward people.
Have you ever been hurt on the job?
No.
Right.
Except for an automobile accident in Katrina, which broke my back.
So you broke your back, and you're still at it.
Still ready to go.
So what did you hit?
We were coming back from what they called a boot training for a week.
Right.
Four of us in the car, and a car coming from the opposite direction broadsided us. Even with a seatbelt, it broke my back. It was such an impact.
How long did it take you to recover from that?
About 6 months therapy, doctors, x-rays, so forth.
You know, although you haven't been in combat, some people would say that you've basically been to combat-like conditions. We hear about post-traumatic stress that some soldiers suffer following combat, or people who've been through traumatic events in your lives. Have you ever suffered any ill effects from your work?
Usually, most of us, when we get home, go into just a minor state of depression. Number one, you go home tired out. You've left your people. We call them a FEMA family.
Right.
And you come back to maybe things that are upset at home. Trying to get back into the usual routine, it's very stressful.
Yeah, because, you know, that becomes your way of life.
Yes,
and
it does.
And those people are your family, and then you're arriving back here in sleepy Newport, Vermont, and you probably have a bit of a, you probably have some difficulty getting an adrenaline rush in Newport.
Yes, you do, really. You just kind of like to sit in a chair for about a day and just do nothing but realize you're back home in your own family, your own environment, and the FEMA people stay in touch with each other. We console each other. It's a great life, Scott. I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't give it up for anything on earth.
So if the doctor told you today that, you know, Helena, I think you've hit the end of the road with your FEMA, because if you continue at this pace, you probably won't live another year. But if you stop, you'll probably live 5 years. What would you do?
Well, my minister in one of his pulpit sermons said, probably I wanted to die with my shoes on, and he's right.
So in other words, is the day you give up is the day you're going to head to the other side.
That's exactly right.
Has your, I know you have a family. I know some of them. Have they always been supportive of you?
Very much so. Very much so. Matter of fact, my daughter was a great supporter of my work. Both daughter and husband were rural mail carriers for many years. So they know, you know, what it's like to deliver good and bad news to people.
Okay. And have you ever had to miss family holidays because you were away?
Every one of them, even my birthday.
Right. And how was that for everybody? Is that just like, mom's gone again?
Yep. My family say, "You mean you're going to be away for the holiday?" And I said, "Looks like it."
So they've kind of accepted the fact that you're here one day, gone the next.
That's about it. I came home from Louisiana on the 23rd of December. My grandson says, "You know, Graham, you got 26 people coming for dinner at Christmas." And I said, "You're going to be right here helping."
Right. So how many times a year are you typically deployed?
Well, Scott, truthfully, I can't give you any numbers. What I need to say is how many hurricanes or disasters we have during the year.
Right.
2 years ago, I had none. And the year before that, I think I was out 4 times. So it all depends on the number of disasters we have. There's something blowing out in the Gulf Coast right now that might put me to work.
Do you ever run into anybody else your age?
I seem to be the oldest one in the group.
But the thing is I don't think, I think, I can't help but believe that when you tell people, if it comes up how old you are, people must be surprised. Because to the listeners, you know, you might think of an 89-year-old woman maybe starting to struggle to get around. You do walk with a cane, but it doesn't appear that you necessarily need it.
No, I don't. It just gives me a little more stability because of my broken back.
Right. All right, we talked about your saddest moments, but what have been some of your happiest moments?
Some of my happiest moments when people come back in, they shake my hand, perhaps give me a hug, and say, if it were not for FEMA, we would not be back in a living condition today. A lot of people come in and thank you because they've had FEMA grants or they've been referred to other agencies. That's part of our work, referral to other agencies that doesn't fall in the scope of what we do. And people will come back in quite often and say, if it hadn't been for you and your referrals, we wouldn't be back in a livable condition again.
Have you been back to New Orleans since they cleaned the place up?
No, I haven't.
Have you been back to any of the cities that you've helped during the disasters?
I don't recall any. I've been in Alabama twice. I was in Mobile, Alabama. That's as close as I have ever come to Birmingham, Alabama.
All right, just off the top of your head, I know you don't have a list, is tell the listeners some of the places you have been to help out people in these dire times.
Well, I believe there are only 4 states in the U.S. that I've not worked in. I've also worked in Puerto Rico, Guam, St. Croix. I've done the earthquakes, the floods, the big earthquake in California of 1978 or 79 was a big thing. We were at the Presidio Army base. That was a terrible assignment. As a matter of fact, during my stay there, I was aboard the USS Peleliu, a disaster ship out in the China Sea, interviewing 400 disaster victims who were absolutely displaced. From there, I got a call as I was going to the airport to arrive in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Right.
So I go there, and I was there quite a few days, as a matter of fact, months. We were put up in an Army base in the gymnasium, 35 people on Red Cross cots, about 2 feet between each one of us. That was a pretty heavy assignment.
And how long did you live like that?
I think we're there about 2 months.
For those of you just tuning in, our guest this morning is Helena Hicks of Newport. Now, do you, not knowing how the whole system works, do you work with the same people every time, or are they total strangers to you?
Quite often they're total strangers.
But by the time you leave, we're probably...
great FEMA friends.
Do you stay in contact with some of them?
Yes, we do.
Now, you don't respond to things like airplane crashes, though. They're more natural disasters.
Well, if there were an airplane crash, and it eventually, through fires and other things, wiped out a town, we'd be there.
Right. What about at the World's Trade Centers? Did FEMA respond to that?
A lot of our FEMA people were there. It was quite a bad assignment. I got called 4 times. I couldn't respond because my daughter was dying during that time.
Right. Well, I think probably people understood. If somebody wants to become involved in FEMA, you know, what should they do?
Scott, we have what is known as 4, matter of fact, there are now 10 regional centers. And I'm in Region 1. That's out of Boston, Mass. They usually write FEMA in Boston, Mass. I would have the address if anybody wanted to call and get it. And tell them you'd like to go to work for FEMA. That's usually through an application, although sometimes people will see people out in the field and ask them if they would like to join FEMA.
So you're actually paid when you're away?
Yes, we're always on paid status.
Right. And what about when you're back in Newport, kick back and enjoying a few moments of peace and tranquility?
We're unemployed waiting for the next deployment.
Right. Now, did you ever work a traditional job or like traditional jobs too boring for you?
Yeah, I like something with a lot of excitement in it.
But have you worked in a factory or anything?
No. Back during World War II, I did work at the American Maple. That's about what I know about factory work. I was supervisor in the packing room.
So if you had to go back now, nothing against factory work. Some people like regimentation, but if you had to go back and work the humdrum life in a factory, how do you think you'd survive that?
I'd be bored to death.
How do you think the adrenaline helps you physically? Do you think it just really keeps you going?
Keeps you mentally alert, for one thing.
Right.
Keeps you on the ball, so to speak.
You know, how about if somebody says, you know, I'm 85 years old. Yeah, I'm physically fit, but I am 85, so, you know, I really can't do this. Can they?
FEMA has no age limit.
Right. So we just barely had a bit of a disaster up here. You know, we've had heavy rains and we've had flooding and FEMA showed up here. Did you work locally?
Yes, I did. I worked at the municipal building. I was deployed there on DR number 1999, Vermont.
Now, this isn't your first time you've worked in Vermont, is it?
No, I worked another time in Berlin, Vermont. But this is my first time ever in Newport.
Oh, really? Been that many years. So that's probably actually a good thing for the region then.
It was quite a thrill to be called to work in my own city.
Did you take in any of your workers?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Because you probably wouldn't think about having them stay in a motel.
No, I wouldn't. They have to make a decision from a higher level. I usually take basic information, what happened to them.
Right. This disaster, the flooding, was relatively mild compared to what you see elsewhere, though.
Yes, it was mild, really and truly. Although one man had 7 feet of water in his whole house, which is probably one of the worst cases we had.
Yeah, you know, we can say it was mild, but if you were directly impacted by it, such as that, I can imagine that person might disagree a bit about how mild it was.
You see, Scott, even 2 feet of water in a house will crawl up the sheetrock. It ruins everything.
And I understand.
The floors will crumble. It's a disaster total.
And I understand it is actually worse if you have insulation in the walls.
Oh, that has to be all ripped out. It's quite often declared total.
Right. And how well were you received here in Newport?
Very well.
Did you see many people?
Yes, I did.
Right. Now, that you had a large camper outside the municipal building for a while with, you know, FEMA mobile, I guess you'd call it. Is that where you worked out of?
We were right in the municipal building. That it carries a lot of our equipment. It has a satellite on top, which quite often we operate from our own satellite.
Yeah,
it primarily carries FEMA equipment.
Right. So things really have changed since you started in the 1960s. You know, before it was all probably pencil and paper, and now you can submit paperwork right over the internet.
Yes, you can. The whole system has changed. When I was in Times Square, Missouri, it was all done on paper.
Do you use the internet?
Yes, we do.
Now, do you use it personally?
I don't like to. I like to sit down and talk to people in person.
All right, we have about 2 more minutes left. What would you like to tell the listeners just about your life, about your beliefs in helping people, anything?
It never stops, my belief. Disasters will be going on forever. I probably won't, but I hope other people will carry on the ball and have the desire to help people, because there are people in the world that really need help.
Right. And there's probably, you know, every time we think we have it hard, there's probably somebody else who has it harder, too.
Every time I feel sorry for myself, I look around. I don't have any trouble at all. The other people are a lot worse off.
Do you think the family tradition of helping will continue?
I hope so.
Right. Okay, I'd like to commend you for all the work you have done, because I think you're sort of like Mother Teresa. You are everywhere there is a disaster. You are always there for people. And, you know, I can't praise you enough, because I think, as you said, is sometimes we all become self-absorbed in our, you know, our disasters, no matter how small they are. And, you know, it would be easy for you to sit back and watch other people help. I think at 89 years old, you truly are an American hero. And I think the word hero is used too often, but I think you are, because you've helped a lot of people in their time of need.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate being here. And I wish the American people the best on earth. We are the best nation. God bless everyone.
Thank you. Our guest this morning was Helena Hicks of Newport. The Vermont Voice is brought to you today by the generous sponsorship of the Orleans Essex Visiting Nurses Association and Hospice, providing more than 40 years of quality and compassionate home care in the Northeast Kingdom.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.